Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off in Rwanda, where we've reached the quarterfinal stage at the African Nations Championship Football Tournament. Our Voice of America listeners will remember this competition, also called CHAN, is for locally based players in Africa. So European-based stars like 2015 African Footballer of the Year, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon, who's based in Germany, are not eligible. And speaking of Gabon, the Gabonese did not impress in Rwanda. They finished on the bottom of Group A, playing a scoreless draw against Morocco and losing to Ivory Coast and host Rwanda. The Rwandans are one of eight teams in action this weekend. Mark Ouma runs down the quarterfinal matchups for us.
Hosts Rwanda play the Democratic Republic of Congo in the Orange African Nations Championship quarterfinals at the Amahoro National Stadium in the capital Kigali tomorrow Saturday. Then Cameroon engage Ivory Coast at the Huye Stadium in Butare, some 140 kilometers south of Kigali. On Sunday, Tunisia encounter Mali at the Nyamirambo Stadium in Kigali before Zambia face Guinea at the Umganda Stadium in Gishenyi, some 160 kilometers northwest of Kigali.
Meanwhile, in Kigali, the Amavubi, or Wasps of Rwanda, will surely enjoy the support of a big partisan crowd when they play the 2009 CHAN champion, the Democratic Republic of Congo. So says our African football guru, David Legg.
We've got two potential humdingers coming up on Saturday. In the first match, and it will be played in Kigali at the Amahoro Stadium, and it's a stadium that's going to be full to its 30,000 capacity, whether it's sun or rain. It'll be Rwanda against the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, by a strange twist of fate, these sides met in a warm-up match of the tournament in Gisenyi, and the Rwandans won 1-0. And afterwards, the Rwandan coach, Johnny McKinstry, was saying, "The match was in Rwanda, but it felt like we were playing in the DR Congo." And the reason for that, Sonny, is Gisenyi is right on the border with the Democratic Republic of Congo. And the Congolese flooded across the border to support their team. And they turned the Rwandan venue basically into a Congolese venue. Now, that will not happen in Kigali, I'm sure. We're going to see thousands and thousands of Rwandans at the Amahoro Stadium. And the Rwandans have got a bit of catching up to do now, because after two victories in Group A, they took a 4-1 drubbing from Morocco in the final match. What McKinstry did is he decided to rest most of his star players, including the likes of Bayisenge, Irangi, the midfielder, and Tuisenge, the captain and the winger. And he gave his reserves a trial. And Morocco, who are fighting for their lives, just outclassed the Rwandans. So what that has revealed to me is while Rwanda have got a very competitive first 11, it looks, Sonny, as if they may not have great depth to their squad. Morocco won 4-1. It could have been 6 or 7-1 by the final whistle. And a really bad day for the Rwandans all around. The rain lashed down, a lot of drenched spectators. And then on top of that, you had this gold deluge, but it was coming from the Moroccans and not the Rwandans. Second place in Group A went to Ivory Coast. They finished 4-1 winners over Gabon. The Ivorians only needed a draw. The Gabonese had to win. At one stage, it was 1-1, but then the Ivorians took over. And they're a side to watch, Sonny, because after their initial match, which they lost 1-0 to Rwanda, they've had two good wins. They beat Morocco, and now this convincing victory over Gabon. On to Group B. And the winners there were Cameroon. They beat DRC 3-1. And they will be at home in the quarterfinals in Butare in the south of the country on Saturday against Ivory Coast. And they're potentially another great match. Two sides very much in form. Cameroon taking advantage of the fact that the Congolese rested a lot of their players, especially those who had yellow cards from previous matches. And Etuba is looking like a very impressive midfielder. He's won three consecutive Man of the Match awards, the only player to do that so far in the competition. And he is deadly from free kicks. He's got a lethal left foot. He knows how to curl that ball either around or over the walls and past goalkeepers. So he's certainly one to watch. The Ivorians very much a team. They don't have the individual stars like Yaya Touré, who plays for the Cup of Nations squad. The Ivorians rely on their teamwork, and if you look at their goal scorers, the goals are coming from various players. So, Sunny, on Saturday in Kigali, Rwanda against DR Congo, and in Butare, it's Cameroon against Ivory Coast. And please don't ask me to forecast the winners of those two matches. It's too hazardous.
All right, David. We won't ask for a weekend forecast. That's David Legg, our African football guru. Taking a quick look at the top goal scorers in Rwanda, Ahmed Akachi of Tunisia and Chizom Chikatara of Nigeria are the joint top scorers with 4 goals each. Akachi could add to his total this weekend since the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia are taking on the Eagles of Mali Sunday in Kigali. But Chikatara's tournament is over, since the Super Eagles of Nigeria were eliminated on Tuesday by Guinea 1-0. After the quarterfinals this weekend, the remaining matches at Rwanda 2016 will take place in the capital, Kigali. The semifinals are scheduled for February 3rd and February 4th, and the third place match and final on February 7th. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte here to remind you that February is Black History Month in the United States. And starting Monday, February 1st, we will begin our Black History Month series and daily quiz on Daybreak Africa. Listen every morning as we profile historical African-American and African individuals and events. You can win special VOA goodies by answering one of our daily Black History questions. Please send your answers to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. You can also call us on 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, select the number 25 to leave us your answer.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Voice of America engineer Mr. Chang, who's making The Sunny Side of Sports sound so good this evening. Thank you, Mr. Chang. Turning to tennis, Britain's Andy Murray reached his 5th Australian Open men's final on Friday, when he beat Canada's Milos Raonic in 5 sets. The final score from Melbourne Park, 4-6, 7-5, 6-7, 6-4, and 6-2. Andy Murray has two Grand Slam singles titles on his resume, Wimbledon in 2013 and the U.S. Open in 2012, but he's never lifted the trophy down under in Australia. And the Scotsman now has the daunting task of taking on world number one and defending champion Novak Djokovic of Serbia in Sunday's final. Djokovic, who's bidding for a sixth Australian Open championship, has never lost a title match at Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne. And three of Djokovic's wins in Australia have come in the finals against his old friend, Andy Murray. In Murray's words, talking about Djokovic, he loves playing on this court. We've played a bunch of times here. Hopefully, it can be a different result on Sunday. Andy Murray has had a lot on his mind in Australia, in addition to Novak Djokovic. Murray's wife, Kim, is back in Britain and is due to have their first baby next month. And Murray also had some worries about Kim's father, Nigel Sears, who was in Melbourne as coach for Anna Ivanovic and had to be rushed to a hospital during one of her matches. Sears spent a night in the hospital and Murray visited him, and Sears was cleared by doctors to return home. Meanwhile, as I said on Thursday's Sunny Side of Sports, it's looking a lot like deja vu down under in Australia. The defending champion in women's singles, Serena Williams, is, like Djokovic, only one victory away from another title in Melbourne. Serena will be the favorite when she plays seventh-seeded German Angelique Kerber in the women's final this weekend. If Serena wins her seventh Australian Open singles title, she'll tie the now-retired German Steffi Graf with 22 Grand Slam championships, the most by any player, male or female, in the modern era. And while David Legg didn't want to make a forecast about that football tournament in Rwanda, I'll serve up this prediction about the tennis action in Australia. Look for Novak Djokovic and Serena Williams to repeat as champions this weekend at Melbourne Park. Well, I mentioned February 7th as the date of the African Nations Championship football final in Kigali, Rwanda. On that same day, in American-style pro football, the Carolina Panthers will play the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl 50, one of the most watched sporting events here in the United States. The big game will be played in Santa Clara, California, and in advance of the Super Bowl, hundreds of workers have been painting, planting grass, and wiring Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara for the contest. The state-of-the-art stadium is where the San Francisco 49ers in the National Football League play their home games. It features solar panels and a green roof with vegetation covering a waterproof membrane. Super Bowl 50 will be broadcast all over the world. And if you want to air some advertisements during the game, well, you better have a good chunk of money in your bank account. The rate for 30 seconds of television advertising during the Super Bowl is approximately $5 million.
Show me the money.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
And when you visit VOAnews.com, don't forget to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog, in which I write about a variety of sporty topics. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru in Johannesburg. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, Uganda's teenage captain, 19-year-old Farouk Mia, you have billed him as a player to watch on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Mia heading to Belgium. How about some details for our VOA football fans?
Yeah, I'm proud to say, Sonny, that the Belgian club Standard Liège are obviously regular listeners to the Sunny Side of Sport, and they've picked up that Farouk Mia was a really good player. So they watched him, and my message to Standard Liège is that they can just put my check in the post, please. I want a scouting fee. The details, Sonny, are that the transfer itself will cost $400,000. Now, what remains, Sonny, is for Mia to agree on personal terms with the Belgians. I sincerely hope he does, because this is a golden opportunity for this teenager who, as you said, has been really rising fast. He's been scoring goals for the Olympic team. And in the CHAN tournament, in their first match against Mali, which finished in a 2-2 draw, Mia created the first goal with one of his beautifully flighted free kicks. And then he converted very calmly a penalty to give the Ugandans the lead for the second time. But unfortunately, they couldn't hold on. And in the end, the match was drawn. But he is a star prospect. And although you have quite a few Ugandans, Sonny, scattered around the world playing professional football, you don't really have many among the top leagues. I suppose what Mia is thinking of is that if he can do well at Standard Liège, and obviously he's got to walk before he runs, then one of the top leagues could beckon. And those top leagues in Europe, as far as the Voice of America are concerned, are England, Italy, Spain, France, and Germany. Other news, Sonny, Christian Atsu. Now, Christian Atsu in 2015 scored the best goal at the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, and he was also voted the best player of the tournament. But since then, he's basically disappeared off the face of the earth. He belongs to Chelsea, who bought him from Porto, but they keep loaning him out. They loaned him to Vitesse in the Netherlands. They then lent him to Everton in England. And more recently, they lent him to Bournemouth, the newcomers to the English Premier League. Now, when he went to Bournemouth, one of the Bournemouth officials said that it was a huge coup to get Atsu to the Cherries, as they're known. But unfortunately, he just didn't make an impression. He only played twice in the League Cup. He never played in the Premier League, didn't even make the matchday squads. And now, in his latest move, he's decided to swap England for Spain. He's moving on loan from Chelsea to Malaga. And we, Sonny, must wish him the very best, because clearly, since Equatorial Guinea at the start of last year, his career has nosedived. He keeps getting lent, but he's not making an impression. So let's hope for a change in fortune when Christian Atsu goes to Malaga.
Another move, David, involving a veteran player from Ivory Coast heading to the Far East. What's the latest there, David?
Right, Sonny, the man in question is Gervinho. I think Gervinho's getting towards the end of his career, and he's obviously looking for those big payouts. And while I have some reservations about the standard of Chinese football, they do pay very well. So he's off to play club football there. He's leaving Roma. That's a big change, Sonny. He's going from one of the top leagues in Europe to, I guess, one of the top leagues in Asia. But there's a big difference in standards. But I guess as you get into your 30s and you can see the sort of sun setting in the distance, those paychecks can mean a lot. And it'll be interesting to see how it fares, Sonny, because Didier Drogba, the Ivory Coast icon, he also went to China. He made a lot of money, but he quickly realized that the standard of football there was essentially dragging him down. He was losing his sharpness. He was losing his touch. He moved to Turkey, and Then he moved back to England and is now, of course, playing for Montreal Impact in Major League Soccer in the United States and Canada. But Gervinho obviously believes he's making the right decision. So we can only wish him well, and we'll keep an eye, Sonny, on his progress. We won't know much about the bank balance, but we'll watch what he's doing on the field.
David, another move that's been signed, sealed, and delivered, and that you actually tipped on a previous show. Emmanuel Adebayor signs with Crystal Palace, short-term deal. Your reaction?
Yeah, Sonny, this is one we're going to have to watch extra, extra carefully. Adebayor he's a very much a yo-yo man. He's up and down. He's got a lot of talent, but he can be a very troublesome character. But as we've said previously on the Sunny Side of Sport, the Crystal Palace manager, Alan Pardew, he says he can cope with the troublesome Adebayor. So we'll just wait and see. The thing with Adebayor, of course, is physically he's so big, he's so tall, he's so strong, and he can be a real menace in the penalty area. And Pardew is very worried about Crystal Palace. He feels they're just not scoring enough goals, and he's banking on resurrecting the career of Adebayor. Now, Sonny, Adebayor has moved around. His last club were Tottenham Hotspur, where he had mixed fortunes. It seemed to depend on which manager was in charge. With Tim Sherwood, he did quite well. But when Sherwood left, his career went down very fast. And this season, Spurs basically washed their hands of him. They said they didn't wish to use him anymore. And this is a player who earned, reportedly, £100,000 a week. That's an awful, awful lot of money. And it's going to be interesting to see now if he can repay the faith of Alan Pardew. Interestingly, Sonny, I was watching the reaction of some of the English pundits, and the majority believe that it's a good signing, that Pardew can actually get Adebayor back on the straight and narrow. We'll just have to wait and see, Sonny.
David, I don't want to wait when it comes to your African football quiz. Can you give us the question one more time?
Which club has qualified the most times to compete in the CAF Champions League? And that includes the former name of the competition. It was then known as the African Cup of Champions Clubs. So what we're talking about, Sonny, is way back to 1964 when this competition started. So it's between 1964 and 2015. Which club has qualified the most times to compete in the CAF Champions League?
2016 is a leap year, David, so we're going to set a deadline of Monday, February 29th, to get your entries in. David and I will now tell you where you can send your entries.
VOA!
It's david.leg, and leg is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France Press, .com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's david.leg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com.
The Sunny Side of Sports welcomes your comments. You can send me email at sunny@voanews.com. Sunny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237. With the African Nations Championship, Cameroon is looking forward to a quarterfinal match Saturday against Ivory Coast after topping Group B. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon finished with 7 points after victories over Angola and the Democratic Republic of Congo and a scoreless draw against Ethiopia. For reaction to Cameroon's performance, my VOA colleague James Buddy called Yaounde, where he reached the editor of This Is Sports newspaper, Franklin Byrne.
Naturally, it's a reaction of joy, especially I would say it begins with surprise, because in as much as we, what this is Cameroon, this is also the Indomitable Lions in that category. Our team started the competition rather slowly. It's true that they opened with a victory 1-0 against Angola, but it was a lackluster victory. And then they had this draw against the lame duck of the group, Ethiopia, in the second game. So facing the giant, so to say, of the group in the last game, this decisive game, the DR Congo, was a kind of a tall order for the Cameroon home-based national team. But see how surprisingly it turned out that we walloped them 3-1. And not just a victory, but a beautiful victory with wonderful football and 3 wonderful goals that you would hardly see even with the classical Indomitable Lions of Samuel Eto'o and Rigoberto.
Did you say, Franklin, that this is a home-based Indomitable Lions?
Yeah, this is a competition that the Confederation of African Football, CAF, created to give some credit and to give some visibility to the home-based players. This is not the Africa Cup of Nations, the equivalent of the European Nations Cup or the Copa America, as you can say. This is the competition, the tournament of African nations' home-based players who otherwise would only be seen in the national leagues, which are not very much in the public view, not very much in the media. Or they could be seen in the African club competitions like the African Champions League or the African Confederation Cup. So this competition is there for home-based players to have a chance to play international football with other nations.
What are the chances that some of these players, that they can make the Indomitable Lions the main national team?
There is a great chance. Just like, let me just give you an anecdote. Somebody after the Indomitable Lionesses, the women's national team has been doing so well on the international scene. You know, of course, that they emerged the best female national team in Africa when doing the CAF Awards earlier this month. So Cameroonians have been saying it looks like the next time the Indomitable Lions have a game, we'll rather feature the girls to play for us. I think that same feeling can take hold now. I'm sure that we'll begin to feel like the home-based player should rather represent us in the classical international competitions in place of the Indomitable Lions of Chukwu Moting, of Stephane Biya, of Abubakar, because the guys have really proven to have stuff in the legs. And I'm sure I can bet that when we get a new national team coach chosen, because we're still searching for one, it's supposed to be out any of these days, maybe in the coming weeks, I'm sure that coach will have to consult with Ntungumpile if he's not going to be the one appointed to that position. And if he's not going to be one of those to assist the new coach who may likely be an expatriate, I'm sure that coach is going to consult Ntungumpile. And I'm sure that those on the shortlist are watching this competition for players they may need to use in the coming competitions with the Indomitable Lions, because these guys have proven to be really good.
That's Franklin Byrne, the editor of Cameroon's This Is Sports newspaper. And Franklin was talking with my VOA colleague, James Buddy, from Cameroon's capital, Yaounde.
The Voice of America. VOA.
And this VOA programming note, on February 24th, the Voice of America will officially celebrate its 74th anniversary on the air. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.